I'm Evan Applegate. I'm a cartographer, and on Very Expensive Maps, I talk to better cartographers. This week, you'll hear from artist and gallery owner Sophie Parr, who has created more than 100 detailed landscape maps using aerial photos and a 0.2-millimeter tip pen.
My name is Sophie Parr. I live in Fish Creek, Wisconsin, which is in Door County, Wisconsin. And I am an artist slash owner of a small art gallery at the very top of Door County. I started making maps in 2019 on a family vacation. I was just kind of doodling and just enjoyed making a map of one of the neighborhoods I lived in Chicago as just something to do while I was having downtime on the trip. And I posted it to social media. And then I made another one, posted that to social media, and another one, and another one, and another one. And then I remember getting asked by family members to make a map as a gift for someone. And slowly it started to kind of grow into this more art business type thing. And then it just kind of took off from there. But I would say I've always been very interested in maps. As a kid, I would draw little maps on my desk, little playgrounds, and use my fingers to like walk around it. I would always drive around like the neighborhoods I lived in, and I was always fascinated by like where, you know, how you get from point A to point B. I lived in Chicago for a while, and I would take my bike on the train and then on the, you know, road and like get everywhere via bike. So I've always been kind of very fascinated by how we travel, and a lot of that has to do with road systems, and I just think they're very interesting to look at. So I've always been very fascinated by that. As a teenager, before smartphones, I would print out a, you know, MapQuest map when I was going somewhere. And I remember I would look at it and I would try to memorize the route. And then I would put the printout in my car and I would turn it over and I would say, okay, I'm not going to look at it again unless I really need to, unless I'm totally lost. It was always like a challenge for me if I could kind of remember from like one look of like how to get somewhere. So honestly, the maps are fascinating. Like a lot of people are fascinated by topography and stuff like that. I just think a standard street map is fascinating.
Okay. You started making them in 2019. People liked them. And then did you start taking commissions or just doing your own kind of thing and seeing what stuck to people?
Family and friends asked me, so those I would consider those commissions. And then in late 2019, I did my first art show in Racine, Wisconsin. I had a couple prints. I started to figure out how to make prints of my maps, so taking a map I drew and digitizing it and getting it printed. That first show, I really had nothing. I didn't have a lot of pieces or anything. But then a couple months later, I ended up applying for the Madison Art Fair on the Square, which is a huge art show. And I ended up getting in. And so that kind of validated a lot of what I was doing, I guess, in terms of it being a real art form. So when I got into the Madison show, that was in March of 2020, I sort of thought, okay, this could actually be something. Unfortunately, that show got canceled because of COVID. I was disappointed, but at the same time, I was sort of like, okay, I can actually take this and turn it into a business. So I relocated from at that time I was living in Madison, and then I relocated to Door County in 2020 and just kind of continued to make maps, continued to take commissions. I reapplied for Art Fair on the Square and got in. So I was kind of preparing for that. And then probably in like February, March of 2021, a storefront space became available in Ellison Bay, which is about 20 minutes north of where I live. And I knew the owner, I met the owner, and I just decided to rent it and see if I could open a little gallery. I didn't have enough of my own work to fill it, but I ended up finding some other artists that wanted to show their work and just started this little gallery while I was also trying to grow my own little map business. So now I own not only my own art business, but also this little gallery where I represent 10 to 15 artists. This is my third season, but it's been about 2.5 years. The first 2 years I was open in the summer. This year though, has kind of shifted a little bit. My art has grown quite a bit in the last, I would say, year. So this winter, I decided to take over half of the space for my own artwork. And so now I do sit here. It's more of an open studio. I do work here. I do all my shipping out of here and all of that. So my space is now half my own studio and half other gallery type work.
How's that retail experience been? Was it a totally blank box when you got in and you had to fit it out and add shelves? And
no, fortunately, it was a gallery prior to me. So there are walls, white. It's a great space. It's a beautiful space. The only unfortunate part about it is that it is in a very northern community, which doesn't see as much foot traffic as some of the other tourist communities in Door County. I also work for the Department of Natural Resources, and I also do urban planning consulting. So my shop is really just a space that I kind of get to play with, which is really nice. So I don't really rely too much on the foot traffic. Plus my own map business, I do shows, I sell online, I do commissions. So I bring in some income in a lot of other ways than relying on foot traffic into my shop.
How do you pick the artists that go alongside your work?
So my gallery is definitely contemporary. It's a little different than other galleries in Door County. I found a lot of them on Instagram, to be honest. I do like to work with Wisconsin artists. It's a lot easier to get their work here. But I have a couple that I've had that are outside of Wisconsin, but it's mostly Wisconsin-based. It's just stuff that I think goes together. Artists that whose work is kind of different. Like I said, contemporary. I have a lot of abstract. I have two potters, and I have a couple textile artists, which are very popular here. And yeah, I just kind of piece together how I want the shop to look each season. And I reach out to my artists and say, what pieces do you have? And then I kind of look through them and I pick out the pieces that I think will create a nice display for the season.
By season, is it literally like every summer, every spring, or by year? Do you rotate stuff out?
I rotate stuff out. I would say this year, definitely I've had everything up for the summer. And I'm slowly transitioning some stuff out now. But for right now, I'm just going to kind of keep everything that I have through the winter. I do a very large Christmas show. It's a 3-weekend show in November through December. And so for right now, I'm not really going to change much because I'm kind of actually preparing more for that now.
You said you do shows. You're on the circuit packing up the van doing, you know, big weekend art shows.
So I do shows, but I do not do the circuit. That is a lot of work. I do a small show in Sister Bay, which is another one of the communities in Door County. I do that one every year. And I will do pop-ups, actually. So I will take a lot of my prints. I will take a lot of that to various businesses around the county on certain busy tourist weekends. And so I'll pop up with my stuff. And I actually also run a small wholesale program where if a boutique or a home goods store or something like that in any community is interested in having a map that they can sell to their customers, then I take on different clients and will draw maps for those businesses based on where they are. And I do all of that through wholesale. I don't do much consigning of my artwork anywhere.
If the wholesaler is in a place, will you make a map of that place?
Yes.
So it's end to end. They commission, they buy 50, they sell.
Yep, they'll commission me to draw the map. I have a couple wholesale clients in Door County, but now I'm expanding outside of Door County. And so I've had two clients where they commission me to draw the map of the community their shop is in, and then I'll wholesale those to them. That's something I really want to grow because that's something that's really easy. It's a lot of passive income. So that's the wholesale aspect is something that I'm really trying to grow a lot more right now. I'll dive into a little bit about the maps. So I have a very particular way that I draw my maps. I use the same ratio for every single map, which is half of a mile for every inch. And that keeps all of them very consistent. And I really only take on commissions for or wholesale orders for what I call mini maps, which are 2 inch by 2 inch, and they show roughly 1 square mile. So those I can get actually done in a day. Do I do them in a day? No, but if somebody wanted a map, it's usually about a month that I'll draw it, get it prepared, get it framed, however many they want, and then ship it to them. So it's a relatively quick turnaround in terms of getting a custom piece of art, I would say. But I'm very particular about that. Like I only take on mini map commissions or wholesale products. Because doing bigger ones, it just takes too long. It's very difficult to price out the larger maps, depending on like how much time it's going to take. Those get a lot harder. So I stick with just the mini maps, and it's been going pretty well. And like some people will want closer up, further away. I just don't take those on. I've learned over the years that as an artist, it's very important to be consistent in what you're producing. I know what I can do and what I'm good at. So I stick with just that.
And speaking of process, could you give me an end-to-end of making that enormous Madison map?
Every map process starts with just finding an aerial screenshot of any community. And I'll basically grid out a 1-inch by 1-inch grid of however many miles I'm going to draw. So the Madison map was 11 miles tall by 16-ish miles wide. So it's 22 inches by 33 inches. And I just take screenshots of aerial imagery, puzzle piece it all together, and drop that a grid on it in Photoshop. And that's how I'll get all of the roads into the right places. Once the roads are all done, I just go in and ink it. And that's what takes probably the longest. So the Madison map was my largest map, and that took probably 150-ish hours or a little more. I was really only starting to track it when I started to ink it because I was on a timeline to get it done for the Madison Art Fair on the Square. So I worked basically 4 hours a day for about 35 days.
Are these aerial images off Google Earth, Google Maps?
I'll look on Google, I'll look on Bing, I'll look on all kinds of different sources. Sometimes I can download them from ArcMap, like my GIS software. So it just depends. And sometimes there's maps that are older and I need to sort of create the image, if that makes sense. So say there's an area where a road was recently built, I would need to look at multiple images to figure out what it actually looks like.
So once you stick it all together in Photoshop, add the grid, those 4 hours a day for 35 days, you're leaned over a light table?
The 4 hours, 35 days, I was at my dining room table, and the roads are all sketched. So I'm going in and tracing over all the roads that I sketched in pencil, and then I'm going in and adding all of the different details in the blocks. Well, all my maps are interpretations. They're never exact. They don't show every building. They're a complete interpretation of the area. So if you zoom in on any given block, you're probably just going to see a bunch of squiggles. You know, in the Madison map, there's plenty of residential blocks that really show houses and trees. Well, the way that I capture that is just doing little figure eights. I mean, it's very, very rudimentary. But when you step away from it is when you see like, oh, I can see the interpretation of this area. But very close, all it looks like is a bunch of squiggles. So fields look different, industrial parks, railroad areas, rivers, all kinds of things. Each thing, I've kind of figured out how to draw each type of area. So it's less about looking at a map and saying, here's a building, and more it's looking at like a satellite image and saying, this block is residential. So this is how I draw that. Like golf courses, for example, took me a long time to figure out how to draw. But at this point, I know how to draw them. So if there's a golf course, I'm not drawing it maybe exactly as that golf course is, but I'm interpreting what I see.
Are you still running into any new types of land cover or areas that you're like, huh, how do I represent that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I haven't yet, but I definitely could. I mean, I do tell people that I don't know how I would ever draw a desert because water is white in my maps, and a desert would have very little to it, I guess you could say, because I don't, you know, people are like, oh, do you capture topography? And I'm like, no, everything is very flat. So I don't know how I would draw that, but I could try. I mean, it took me forever to figure out how to draw wetlands, which is basically just an intense level of dots. I haven't encountered any new types of landscapes because I've probably made over 100 maps. So I've encountered a lot of different landscapes.
And when you do your pop-ups or shows or in your shop, do people wander up and say, do you have a map of X? And have you ever made a map off customer requests?
So people will always ask me, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? And I usually don't, because what I do is so, so specific. I mean, my mini maps only show like 1 square mile. So there'd be a lot of people like, even in Door County, like, do you have North Bay? I'm like, no, I've never drawn North Bay, because there would be no reason for me to do that because there's only like 20 houses, right? So it's more like people wondering like, oh, is my house on a map? Most of the time it's not, unless you live in like a downtown area. That was the centerpiece of one of my mini maps. But I definitely like get questions and requests for stuff. And honestly, how I respond is like, stay tuned, because the possibilities are endless. You never know what I'll draw next. I do plan out what I'm drawing based on art shows I'm going to, based on what I think will sell in Door County, because this is where I live, and commissions. I mean, I do get plenty of commissions for places all over the place. If any artist is listening, I'll tell you, commissions are tough. I'm not going to even try to deny that, because you are catering to what someone else wants. And a lot of times what they want isn't necessarily something that you're very excited about. And that can be very difficult as an artist. So I originally did take larger pieces, but they again were very difficult to price out and they took a lot of time. When you're drawing a map and you're spending 40 hours in a place that you do not care about or has no meaning to you, it's hard. It's really hard. I'm just being totally honest. So I opted to not take any maps over my 2-inch by 2-inch mini maps because my 2-inch by 2-inch ones, I can just get done in a day and I can kind of give someone something that they're looking for and a really great memory gift without 40 hours spent on a place that I don't resonate with at all. So as much as people say, oh, commissions are so great, they can be very tough. When I sent the image of a final map, I did get my first request of like, is this building on here? That made me realize, and the building was, but that made me realize that I have to be a little more upfront that like my maps are interpretations. This is how I do them. You either like my style or you don't. And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. Something I've learned over the last 4 years is that as an artist, if you want to commission me, you're commissioning me because I do what I do, not because you want what you want. I am very like, this is what I do. This is what the end result is going to look like. Once you approve the screenshot of what I'm going to draw, I take it from there. And, you know, they don't have to accept it at the end. Any commissioned piece doesn't have to be accepted at the end, but I don't accommodate much in terms of people wanting certain specific things. It's really like, send me an address. I will create a composition. I will send you the screenshot. You approve it and I start. And I have enough commissions that if that doesn't work for someone, I will be all right.
Do you have any other enormous projects in the pipeline once you get enough time, Madison scale?
Yeah, so I'm working on a 2-foot by 3-foot of Chicago right now. I'm in the sketching phase. So I have a large paper on my wall that has I'm probably like a quarter, maybe a little less than a quarter done with the road sketch. But that's my next biggest project. Otherwise, I'm just doing a lot of mini maps.
No miso scale. It's either 2 by 2 inches or absolutely enormous.
That's like honestly where I'm at because I enjoy the large scale ones. They're fun to film. I do a lot of filming and they're fun to watch grow. And then what's great about the mini maps is I can just do them in a day. So I'm glad with where I've landed, but it took a long time. It took a very long time to kind of figure out what was working and what wasn't.
Did you ever have a project you had to abandon?
I've never had a project that I didn't finish necessarily, but I did drop 2 commissions that I took deposits for and returned their money and everything because this was when I was taking on larger maps and I just mentally couldn't meet their expectations. And that was hard. That was really hard. But at the end of the day, if you're going to take on something that you know that you are not going to do well at, it's not worth it. Was I upset that I had to kind of say no to them? Absolutely. But it saved me a lot of like mental stress.
And you only learn that one project at a time, like, oh, not doing that again.
Yeah. So if you take your art and you turn it into a business, there is a lot of like trial by fire, figuring it out as you go.
Just rolling back, you might have covered this, but say your start like that Chicago map, and once all the imagery is pieced together, you start with the roads and fill in around those?
Yeah, so I sketch out all of the roads, railroads, street roads, the boundary waters, so like Lake Michigan. That'll all be sketched out inch by inch. It's never perfect. I don't always get everything in the right place, but that's kind of how it's art. Then once this road sketch is done, I'll go in and ink. So right now I'm still on the road sketch. I don't know if I'll have it done this year, but we'll see.
So imagery confirmed, road sketch and pencil, go over everything in ink, like micron pens?
Yeah, I use a 005 micron pen in black. I don't ever do color. People ask me all the time, oh, do you ever use color? I'm like, nope. Color freaks me out. I love color, but I self am not comfortable using it. At this time, one day I would love to maybe like expand and like try some new things. But for right now, the black and white is working for me.
Do you ever edit on the paper, like scratch up this piece of ink?
No, if it's on there, it's on there. There's no way I'm changing it. Like, kind of back to your question of abandoning a map. I've never made a mistake enough to not finish. So there's plenty of mistakes, but I just keep going.
Has any of your hand-drawn art bled into, say, your professional stuff at the DNR or urban planning consulting? A PowerPoint deck that has a mysteriously nice ink drawing in it?
Not yet, but I do get commissioned by various properties to do maps, and that's both drawing and digital. So I was commissioned to do a property map for an outdoor theater property in Wisconsin that's at their box office. That's all digital. I was commissioned to do a walking map of one of the communities in Door County. That was hand-drawn. For the DNR, I do more marketing maps that are all digital. And I also, my urban planning consulting, I do more digital maps showing different plans visually and stuff like that.
These things that come out of like ArcMap and Illustrator?
Yes, I use ArcMap and Illustrator, yeah.
And say for that walking map you did you letter it by hand too?
Yeah, so it was all by hand. And I'm actually, I'm in talks with doing a hand-drawn property map for another property in Door County right now. It's nice to get to a place where you can say no because, yeah, I mean, I had to say no. I got asked to do a map for a book and it wasn't going to fit me in terms of what they were looking for. And I actually recommended Cam. I don't know if he did it, but I recommended him for it. It's nice to be able to say no and make sure that the integrity of your art stays where you want it.
And even better, pass it along to someone who might want the project.
Yeah, exactly. And who's a better fit? I mean, not every artist is a good fit for everything, and that's okay.
That's my favorite moment. Can you make a map like X? I'm like, nothing in my portfolio looks like that. But I have three other names who could definitely do you well.
Right. I have had people ask me, like, well, could you do this and this and this? And I've even had people ask me to do things, and I say no. And I'm like, and then they get defensive. They're like, well, why wouldn't you want to take this project on? And I'm like, because I have so many other projects that fit me a lot better. You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like when you're a small-time artist, which I still consider myself a small-time artist, people think that you're like clamoring for commissions and you would do anything. And it's like, no, I'm very specific and it's working for me. So I'm not going to take on your weird, disjointed, I want to show XYZ across 20 states map. I'm not going to take that on. I mean, I deal with a lot of people and there's a lot of personalities. It was really only one guy that really got mad that I didn't want to take his project on. And I was just like, your project will cost like $10,000 if I time it out. I mean, seriously. So because he wanted like three states. And I was like, there's just no way. And at that point, you start to realize, too, that a lot of people will look at your work and think that just because you're an artist, you can kind of do anything. But what you realize is that they don't actually understand what you do. So they don't actually follow you and are understanding like how you actually draw them. They just think, oh, it's a cool map. She could clearly draw anything. And I'm like, no, I'm not an illustrator. I literally cannot draw something out of nowhere. I have to mathematically scale it, plan it, sketch it, draw it. It's very, very straightforward. And so a lot of people don't pick that up. And so they'll get kind of like, well, why can't you do this? It's like, well, because I'm actually not a trained artist. I just figured out how to do this. So this is what I do.
That's a testament to talent then. They see something and they don't see the very regimented backstory to how it happens. They see the output and think, wow, that's sweet. That must come out of the hand of someone who could draw anything.
That is a lot of people. And I'm just like, yeah, it's not that easy.
How did you settle on half inch to the mile for your scale?
It just started to kind of happen. When I was drawing my mini maps of Door County, this was probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, I knew I wanted them all to be very consistent so that people could buy all of them and put them on their walls. And I wanted to capture downtown areas. I wanted to have enough detail, but also not be too consumed by the detail. Because again, I like having an interpretation. It's what keeps the maps moving because I'm not so fixated on what every single building looks like. And so when I did all of the Door County little mini maps, I realized that I liked that scale. And I started to use that scale in larger maps. And I just kind of realized that it was the perfect scale for me to capture enough detail, but still maintaining this like level of like abstractedness, if that makes sense, which I felt I liked being, you know, it being artwork. I liked having that more interpretation as opposed to like exactness. So I just kind of decided that that was the scale I was going to use. And now because I use that scale on every map, they move along a lot faster because I'm less consumed by, did I get every detail in that block right? And more like, this is generally what that block looks like and what this segment of blocks look like, so I can just move through them.
So that scale gives you a good balance between detail and overall feeling or gestalt, and you can work fast on it.
Yeah. I mean, my maps, I mean, even a 2-inch map will take me 4 hours. So I will move them along as fast as I can.
Do you work under magnification or just bare eyes?
Just bare eyes right now. That's probably the question that I get asked the most is, do you use a magnifying glass? Do you have glasses? And I'm like, no, not yet. Maybe one day. But because my maps are interpretations, again, I don't have to hone in on every detail. So the pen is small enough to do what I need it to do is how I kind of say it.
Are you working on these straight through the year? Like, do you ever take a few months off? Like, yeah, putting the Micron down for a while.
I'm always kind of working on them. I tell people, like with commissions, I tell people give me like 6 months. I mean, I'm not like a churn and burn type person by any means. I have a lot of other projects that I work on that aren't just drawing. But yeah, I mean, I definitely am working on them all the time. I'm always drawing. I always have a drawing going.
Do you have a sketchbook with other things in them? Or is it, if you're drawing, you're drawing one of these?
My sketchbook only really has maps in it. I sketch some like architectural stuff, but that's not even been very frequent. I used to do a lot more architectural kind of buildings and stuff when I was younger, but no, my sketchbook mostly just has maps. Yeah, I'm not like your traditional artist in the sense that I'm like very creative. I hate to say this, but I don't even really love drawing the maps. I'm more of a disciplined person when it comes to that. It's not like I love the journey of the drawing. Do you know what I mean? Like it doesn't bring me a huge immense amount of joy. It's more of a thing that I choose to do and want to get to the end because I like the end result. So I'm definitely not your like typical artist in that sense. Very results driven. Yeah.
So your favorite moment is stepping back. Ah, done.
Well, I have two moments that I like the most. My first moment is I like when I've sketched all, or I've inked all the roads and I can erase the underlying pencil sketch. That's very satisfying. And then I love when I'm done and I can step back and say, wow, this looks cool. I like when I'm done with it. I like framing it. I like getting it digitized. There's definitely parts of it that I really like, but I think in terms of what people think artists love to do, like, oh, they just love painting. It's like, I'm not the person that loves drawing all these blocks. I just more enjoy that I have the ability to create these and people like them.
That's the part about making maps I enjoy is looking at them after they're done. Because after a month of shoving around 1,200 labels in Illustrator, I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah. And then you're done and you're like, wow, I did that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This looks cool.
And everyone's like, wow, I love that. And not many people on earth can do that still. So that's a good feeling, doing something that almost no one else can.
Yeah, I think maps, you know, AI can come in and do what we're doing. And so I think for people that make maps and like in whatever capacity they do, I think those are special people because eventually a computer could do what we're doing, which is sad, you know?
I always think the most generic maps possible can be easily done by the computer. Like as soon as Adobe will have a plugin that's like, oh, type in, I want a map of the 50 states with New York, Vermont highlighted with a caption. And it'll destroy 90% of my business, like cute corporate maps.
Yeah.
But there will always be, the essence of a good map is that a human eye has been over every square inch of it. And that was true 1,000 years ago, it was true 100 years ago, and it's true today. And something that a computer can get you a lot of the way there, like for instance, I'll use the map publisher plugin in Illustrator to place labels, and it never places them exactly right. I have to go in there and fidget.
Right.
Move, shove stuff around. Could be underestimating the power of the computer in 10 years. But because map making requires such close range human attention, the maps people hang on their walls right now are all maps made before the computer because you couldn't fake anything. You know, you couldn't ask ArcMap to place 10,000 labels and be like, wow, cool map. Anything that went on there was considered and started with the blank page.
Yep, totally.
I think the future will have a huge demand for people to do the map making the old labor-intensive idiosyncratic way of, you know, it's one artist's interpretation and a computer can't do it because it hasn't made 300 maps in the same style over the past 30 years. It's that attention that's, mm-hmm. that you get. People ask me, why would anyone hire a map maker? We have Google. And I say, you're absolutely right. I can't compete with Google. They spent $1 billion a year to keep that thing updated.
Right.
But because the computer has taken off some of the pressure of making workaday utilitarian maps, it creates a huge open space for artistic-minded people to make maps.
I do find it interesting. Like, there's a comment that I'll get quite often, which is, I have never seen anyone do something like this. And I always find that so interesting because there are so many maps out there. But that is a comment I get quite often.
That's why it's art. It could only come out of your hand.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like, well, how many Sophie Parrs have you met?
Yeah, there's just me. Although I do have an identical twin sister, so there is another person that looks very much like me running around.
You ever asked her to sit in the shop and cover for you?
No, she has her own business. She never would.
Any map makers or artists that people should check out?
Yeah, so there's a map artist in Canada named Cam Oja, and I remember seeing his work. It popped up on my feed, and I actually thought it was mine. And I went to his page, and I was like, oh my God, he does such similar work to me. But his work is a lot more closer up, and it's very cool. He does a lot of cool cities, and he captures a lot more building details. It's very cool. And then the other one that a lot of map makers know, you might know, is Ed Fairburn in UK. And he draws hatched women's faces on maps, which are very cool. And him and I have chatted on Instagram before, and he's a super nice guy and he's grown his like social media following massively in the last, I would say, year or two. And his work is beautiful, very beautiful.
Where can people find your work?
On my website, mapsbysophie.com, and then I do a lot of video on Instagram, which is just at mapsbysophie.
All right, have a great day.
You too.
For show notes and bonus content, visit veryexpensivemaps.com. This episode is brought to you by The Map Consultancy, supplier of professional, data-driven maps for your decks, reports, walls, and events. Visit themapconsultancy.com to see what good maps can do for you. I'm Evan Applegate, I'm a cartographer, and you should make your own maps.
No one wants to see dull, ugly maps. If you want to get through to your customers, you need the best cartography money can buy. The Map Consultancy will create maps with your data and your branding, PowerPoint decks, annual reports, conferences and events, your office walls. The Map Consultancy does it all. Visit themapconsultancy.com and get the best maps today.